You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and of course, the Gribbs, Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, join us in studio today. Gribbs, we'll start with Mike Pence press conference, the quarterback situation, your thoughts.
Well, I'm not surprised that we don't have a definitive answer today, though I do expect one maybe sooner rather than later this week, because I think, as Petten kind of explained it, that at the quarterback position, you like to have that settled earlier than later rather than later in the week. But again, that seems like it's been – I was joking down the media room. It seems like we've had kind of this uncertainty at quarterback for about half the games this season, whether it be because of injury or because of how Manziel played against Tennessee going into that game. So it'll be interesting to see. I think that the workout today for Josh McCown is important, and I think the thing we learned today is that if Josh McCown is healthy and they don't have to really kind of scheme a game plan around maybe some fragility in that pocket if he takes some hard hits – then he's going to be the guy. And like you said earlier in that last segment, Mike Tomlin sees the same thing. He sees the production they have with Josh McCown at quarterback. And as Mike Petten said, the Browns are tasked with winning games. And that's the way he sees the best chance to win. So, again, I think we'll learn a lot more tomorrow, maybe all the way down to Thursday. But I don't think we'll have one of those Friday announcements again this week.
Andrew, Nathan and I discussed it yesterday, you know, coming out of this mini bye week because of the Thursday night football game. What is the resounding message if you're Mike Petten to this locker room? Because we always hear in sports you can lose the locker room, you know, when things get so bad and there's just the negative aspect that takes over. How do you come back after a loss on Thursday night? You have a division rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers 1 week before you get another break in the bye. What would your message be to the locker room knowing you have seven football games ahead of you and a majority of them being division opponents?
I think there's stuff that you can still salvage with this season. Obviously, playoffs are a almost mathematical long shot at this point. So I don't know if you can sell that on these guys who have been in the league for so long. But I think Joe Thomas said it pretty well today in the locker room that, you know, some of these guys' careers depend on how this team kind of finishes. You can impress and kind of put yourself in a better standing if you do play well in the second half of the season. If you do get these better individual performances, you're likely going to have a better team performance as well, because it's getting harder and harder at this point to kind of point out, well, this guy are doing their job, but the others are not. I think it's been kind of the second halves especially have been kind of a collective failure with the offense and defense and even some special team stuff going on. So I think that you just need to let them know that, you know, this is a season that you can kind of end on a better note than what it is right now, because it doesn't get much worse than losing four straight games in the NFL. The only thing that really makes it worse is losing five straight games going into a bye week, because that'll make for a really long 2 weeks coming back into a schedule that doesn't get any easier, that has a Monday night football game against a weaker Baltimore team. But that December stretch will be even less fun for you if you go into it on a losing note.
Gribbs, Joel Bitonio won't be able to play. That means that you're going to have Cam Irving making his first start at left guard. What do you expect to see from the rookie?
Well, you know, he didn't seem very worried about the fact that he hasn't worked much at left guard. And I think we all had kind of an idea of that because we've seen him in practice work at all these other spots. But, you know, Joel Bitonio is not a guy that's going to give up snaps in practice, and he's pretty locked into that left guard spot. So he'll have all week to prepare at that spot. I don't think that's much of a concern. I just think this is a guy that just hasn't played many snaps all year, and I think it's, as an offensive lineman, really hard to really find any kind of rhythm with the way he's been used. He's been used as kind of that sixth blocker in situations, had nine snaps against the Bengals. He really didn't say whether he played good or bad or not. But this is really kind of the opportunity he's been waiting for. And he seemed to have a good attitude about his place on this roster. I think other guys in his situation might have been a little bit more frustrated being a first-round pick and not playing. But he seemed to have a good attitude. I think both Mitchell Schwartz and Joe Thomas in the last few days have said all the right things about what Cam Irving has done behind the scenes. I think his versatility is one of his major strengths. But you don't want to be able to not master one position, which I think this is what we're going to see. Can he be really good at that one spot rather than being able to fill in at all five spots? We just need to see him perform at a high level at one of these spots in the offensive line, whether or not that's going to be a position he plays next year.
We've reported one of the moves that obviously we've moved on from Robert Turbin. He's been released and we've made some other roster moves. That being said, Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, the two-headed monster that started the season and was very productive in the first four, five, six games of the football season, is probably going to be who we're going to be rolling with moving forward. Do you see a larger dose of Duke Johnson ahead of us in these final seven games as, you know, they potentially look to the future and look to who's most productive, essentially, offensively.
I hope so, because I think when you get him the ball in space, good things happen. And I wouldn't want to put him on the same level yet as this guy, but you look at what the Patriots did this year with Deion Lewis up until he was out for the rest of the season. It was just a total mismatch against linebackers, which I think Duke Johnson also possesses. I think he's been used a little bit less each week in the running game. Maybe you see him used more in that capacity, but he's just a guy to me when I watch the game as just a fan of sort of just from the TV perspective. This is a guy that's so much more dangerous as a pass catcher out of the backfield than he has been as a runner. I think he has the capability to be dangerous as a runner, but with the way this offense is working now, with the struggles you've had with just the basic running game, you maybe want to focus more on getting the ball in space, getting him the chance to have kind of that 7, 8, or 9 catches that he was able to have against San Diego, and just kind of scheme things for him, because I've yet to really see teams just kind of eliminate him from the Browns' plans.
Right.
It's usually he's not on the field or they just kind of are looking the other way, but the plays he made against Cincinnati were the kind of plays you want to see out of that type of player, and hopefully we'll see more of him as the season goes on.
We talked about Robert Turbin was not popular when they signed him because he was cut Terrell Pryor. Didn't seem popular today when they released him because people were like, well, then what are you doing with him? But nonetheless, he's gone, and in many ways it was to make room for Glenn Winston, who will be called up. It seems that Crow and Duke are at their best when it's just Crow and Duke, but we heard today Mike Penn saying he wants to see Glenn Winston and what that translates over. So do you think we're going back to another three-headed running back attack?
I don't know if it's going to be like it was. Was it the Broncos game where they each got about 8 or 9 carries apiece?
Right.
And I don't think we're going to see that again, because the way Pettine phrased it on Friday was we kind of came to the realization that the two-back system with a guy used situationally would be the way to go. I would think that would continue with Winston being the situational kind of guy. And we look back at that Bengals game, it got kind of weird in the second half where you're just not getting first downs. So you really didn't even get any kind of I don't think we saw any downs and distances where you go to your situational running back in that situation, which is probably why Turbin didn't see the field at all on Thursday. So maybe you find ways to get Winston in the game, but I would think as a guy, he's been in games, he's been active for games, but he hasn't touched the ball yet in his entire NFL career. So I would be surprised to just see him come out right away and get 8, 9 carries, but I could see maybe a steady progression, give him 4 or 5 or something like that, and then work him elsewhere, because I think he's someone that can also help you on special teams as well.
Andrew, as we look at the last 7 games of the football season, and again, if you hit the fast forward button and the season ends, and there's an end result, you know, say you finish 4-3 in those last 7 or 3-4, whatever it might be, How much of that you think falls upon the coaches' shoulders and their ability to motivate this football team to play, as you said, almost mathematically out of the playoff? Or how much of it, and just simply being a player, should fall on the veterans of this locker room or the guys that are making a significant amount of money to be playmakers and leaders in this locker room?
I think it's clearly both. I think when you look at it maybe at like the collegiate level, maybe more is on the coach than it is the player. But I think once you get to the NFL, I think it's a shared agreement. It's a shared responsibility. And especially with this team, there's so many veterans, especially on this defense. The offensive line is full of veterans as well. So some of it does fall on these guys' shoulders. And a lot of these veterans have been in seasons like this before, and I think they know what works and what doesn't late in the season. I think you can get some motivation, whether it's as being a spoiler, whether it's, you know, playing for your personal, you know, success going forward, and maybe your personal contract situation. It's a thing like that. I think there's plenty of reasons to stay motivated throughout the season. I think I heard Philip Rivers talk about it yesterday or something like that. If you were told as a kid you're playing Monday Night Football against the Chicago Bears, your first question is not going to be what's our record. And
right.
I think that's kind of the gist of it. And I think that's where you got to try to find that motivation to keep moving forward. And I think there are pluses to finishing a season on a good note if you don't make the playoffs. I know fans like to lament about, you know, not getting the draft pick that you could have had if you had just fallen in the tank or anything like that.
We look at Mangini and the way he finished. What, he finished 5-0, you know, in one of his last years here in Cleveland. Didn't start well, you know, didn't win a lot of football games, but finished very well at the end.
And I think that it can carry over, because I think, you know, we were all in this building throughout the entire offseason. That 5 straight losses to end the season, that lingers. I mean,
it does.
So I think you can have the same effect as a stronger finish to the season. So I haven't gotten a sense that these guys aren't lacking motivation at this point in the locker room. I think that a division rival game at Pittsburgh, I think, is going to get your attention. I think they're going to be a little bit more rested than they were going into that Cincinnati game, a little bit more healthy. And I think at this point, if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't play, I think the Browns are the healthier team at this point going into this Sunday game.
What did you make of Mike Pettine's comments that playing the young guys, specifically Johnny Manziel, would be a disservice to the locker room?
To me, it's just, I think he just sees such a clear maybe separation between McCown and Manziel's abilities on the field, where I think that when he thinks putting McCown in the game just increases the win possibility so much more because of the, you know, it's hard to phrase it, but kind of the benefit of playing the young guys over the difference between win and loss. I just think the offense has been maybe more consistent with McCown. He gets guys involved, stays in the pocket, gets guys like Gary Barnidge, Travis Benjamin consistently more involved in the game. So I think that's the decision he has to weigh. Whether or not that philosophy changes after the bye week, I think it's kind of a week-by-week thing. I know McCown is a day-to-day injury situation. I think that the philosophy of what quarterback you use, I think at this point it's week-to-week because, as Pettine says, you do reach those points in the season where you've got to get a look at some of these younger guys, and the vast majority of the Browns' younger players are playing because of circumstance, injuries, and other things like that, and I think it could get to the point where you have to make that decision at quarterback as well, but I think, as we saw today, it's not this week.
Gribbs, thank you so much. Tons of content being churned out by this man alone, ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. He is our guest at this time on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. Gribbs, will be see you next week. And, of course, enjoy all the great content you're producing, ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app.
No problem, guys.
All right, when we're back, final thoughts here as we wrap it up on today's edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4.